chapter 3. We've had the two creation accounts, one focusing on the grandeur, the other one focusing on man. A lot of good things have been said. Then we get down to business. Here we are. Now the serpent, who just happens to show up, was more crafty. When crafty is a beautiful word. I don't know what your translation says, but the... Okay.
Cunning.
That's the actual cunning, shrewd, with evil intent. Is the actual very smart with evil. Then any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. Of course, the serpent is Satan, Lucifer, at this point. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." Our enemy makes his entrance. The first thing we are told is that he is well equipped to do what he does. He's crafty. He is smart. He knows how to use the intelligence that he has to get what he wants. And he begins by speaking to the one who God did not command directly, and he speaks to her while she is alone. So two things. She obviously knows what the command is, but the command did not come to her. It came to Adam. There is no record, and I mean, he surely could have, but we don't. Such a thing would have been reported because it matters. And she obviously knows what it is, but it didn't come from God, and she is by herself. Note, Satan has access to us. We are both put in the same place. We are here to learn what he did not. He knows to offer us what we want, the same thing he wants. He'll offer us what we want to get what he wants, and it's beginning to get this straight right off the bat. His entire interest in you, he could care less about you, you mean nothing to him, is to hurt God, to attack what God loves, to injure it, and that's all he wants. I told you before, I always see this way. There's like a game going on. And for Satan, we are pawns in the game. For God, we are the reason the game is played. We are the prize of the game. And that's the difference between the two. That's how they see us. The lie. He tempts by negating the word of God, reasoning it away. God didn't say that. It's not what he meant. It's an opening line, challenging the truth with a lie that you want to hear. Doubt and deny, it's easy when what you want can be obtained by this. You want to hear these lies. There are some things we want so much that you just want to hear. Plausible deniability or plausible acceptability maybe here. Boy, I really want that. So I've heard people come up with some really, really strange ways of justifying the wrong they did. You know, trying to justify it spiritually, and you're just, no, and I know where that came from. You know, I know who whispered that. And another thing, it's very important to note that I absolutely firmly, absolutely positively believe we would have fell with or without. He just hurries this whole thing along. You know, he gets this thing moving. It is our desires that he's speaking to. He didn't put the desires in us. He's speaking to the desires that are there. They're the exact same ones he had before he fell. He knows who we are. You know, given this free will thing, it comes with it. And it's just, he knows exactly what he's doing. And why did God let him be there? Because it's all part of the purpose. Why did he let the tree be there? Because this is what he wants. He wants choice. He wants us to change what we want. The only way to do that is to give us what we want, taste the bitterness of it, and then decide I don't want it anymore. It is a very simple plan, and it's brilliant. It is. He's creating sons here, and he's doing it the hard way, but the way that will work and will always last. Satan is cast out of everywhere he goes. Heavens, the presence of God, and the world. Cast from heaven, cast from the presence of God, cast from his throne on the earth. You know, as you work your way through the Bible, we just went through a lot of this in John, where he says, "I saw Satan fall from light," and he says, the ruler of this world. Everywhere the dude goes, he gets thrown out, and until he gets thrown in, it's going to continue to happen. Until he's cast into the pit, and that's his ending. Don't know how long we lasted until this moment came. It's interesting to me. How long between the time when God said, don't eat from the tree, until this moment comes? It could have been 15 seconds, and it would have been just as potent. But I imagine the longer the time passed, the sweeter his words sounded. They became more and more what you wanted to hear, because you were just trying to figure a way to get that piece of fruit, you know, to throw that rock, you know, because like I said, it really does flick the switch, throw the rock. It doesn't matter, you know. Anything we were told we couldn't do, we want
to
do.
One of the interesting things I read in the book Kyle recommended to me was they talked about how Adam named all the animals at one point. And, you know, we kind of just glossed over that a little bit. But if you were going to name every animal, it's going to take a very long time. And so we don't consider that. We just think, oh, he just brings them by and then names them. But no, he has to go name every animal.
Tiger, lion, zebra, hippo. You know, and you're right, because it makes the way it's written, it makes you think that it's more than that. It's because you get the impression that God sat back and watched him do it and enjoyed the interaction. It's like watching your kid color a picture and you're just sitting there watching, and it's just really neat because you're watching them be creative. So you get the sense that it wasn't just, you know, hippo, lion, zebra, shark. You know, it was actually thought out, and God enjoyed the process. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Right. But however long it was, that tree was just sitting there. You know, aw, come on. You know, it's just, yeah.
Then you got a snake saying,
yeah. Amen.
Of course, if a snake talked to me today, I'd probably jump.
Yeah. That's interesting. You know, and go wherever you want with this. How much of this is an analogy? How much of this is literal? It's your business. Take it wherever you need to have it. Just don't lose the point of what's being told to us here. A lot of why is being explained here. And when you understand this, the whole rest of it starts to make a little more sense. You know, if you don't get this, you're going to have a hard time with the rest of it. I guess that's why I put it in the beginning. He just had to sit back and let our pride do all the heavy lifting. So when he struck, we were easy prey. We cannot blame him for anything. You know, the old Flip Wilson, the devil made, maybe you're not old enough, the devil made me do it. Thanks, Mark. Roland, I expected an amen over there.
Yeah, yeah. I heard that.
And, you know,
that was 1960s, maybe.
Late 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
Here comes the judge. The devil made me do it. Right. And the rest of you have no idea what we're talking about. Ha ha. So, Psalms 49:12 says, "But the man in his pomp will not endure. He's like the beast that will perish." It's just, nip. Your pride, man and his pride, we just won't last. It's just a bold statement. Because of our pride, living here eternally was never going to happen. We were made eternal. We were made, but yeah, the die was cast. As soon as he said no, as soon as he uttered those three words, "You shall not," it was cast. "You shall not" was, "Yes, I will." It will always follow. 1 Corinthians 11:3-4 says, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted," you bear this beautifully. Basically what he's saying is, this later, he's still writing to Christians going, yeah, we still got the same problem. You know, these things are still coming in, and they work because we want them. They tell us something we want to hear. Just like you were talking about with Scientology. You know, give me something I want. And Hitler did it with Germany. You know, here's all these things that you guys desperately want because you know, you've gone without them. I'll give them to you. But it's to do that, oh, we have to do this. And we're like, but I want that. And our morality just becomes weakened. Well, it becomes exposed. Not weakened, exposed. Yeah. John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and you want the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies." The first thing he says is a lie. God didn't say that. Think about it. We do it all the time. Well, is that really what God said? Yeah, when you know it is. We just talked about this. Finding ways. And if you read the convoluted arguments to say that's not what God is saying, and you just go, wow, that's what you're standing on? You know, it's, yeah. Revelations 12:7-12. "There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, and the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, was thrown down on the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power of the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before God day and night. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. Luke 10:17-18. Remember that. Now listen to this. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Thrown down. Now judgment, John 12, now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So he's been cast out of heaven. Now he's going to be cast out of the earth. This is his future. I am lifted up from the earth and draw him in unto myself. Isaiah 14:12-13. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, who have weakened the nations. But you in your heart said, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly and recesses of the north. It is the sin we all do. We are God. I am God. I don't have to listen to you. I can do what I want. It's basically the same thing. But do not lose track of his title, the accuser of the brethren. So, how it works is this. He talks you into doing it and says, uh-oh, what did you do? Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, look what you did. And it's not just the accuser before the throne. The beautiful picture of this is Job. Him walking up before Job, before Christ comes, and saying, well, he's only doing this because. That constant accusation. Why can he do this? Because, well, basically, he has power over us. You know, when we listen to him, when we accept his words, he gains a hold. He has standing. And he takes that standing before the throne of God. Well, Jesus Christ now stands between that accusation. It doesn't matter what accusation he brings anymore. It's gone. There is no accusation that makes it to the throne. It stops at Jesus Christ. And Jesus just sat there, and what a beautiful little line. I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. And everybody went, whatever that means. One more thing Jesus said that we have no idea what he's talking about. But the depth and the power of that moment, you know, in hindsight, as we look at the whole picture from the beginning to the end of how this thing ends, wow. He's telling us something big just happened here, and he just says it in a sentence. One thing that said would be, what does it say we read? He will, you know, well, we'll read it in the curse coming up, you know, about, you know, you will crush his head, you will bruise his heel. Well, that's where it happens. One more, just because we're talking about Satan, it's important. Revelations 20:1-3. And then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and the great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. They're making sure that we're not
confusing.
Yeah. It's him. With every name that we have, we're throwing it in there, right? And bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over so that there would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. I have no idea what God's purpose or plan is. But in the end, he is thrown into the pit and locked up for the rest of all eternity. That's how it ends. He gets this. I never did understand that short reprieve. God has a purpose for it. This has to do with the people who are on the earth who had never faced him. This is the 1,000-year reign where he's locked up. There's an actual, it's basically the Garden of Eden again here on earth, and the nations know nothing of the deception, but basically it may came down to the thing of everybody has to face this. Everybody has to face this. I'm not sure. Right. If you don't face it here, it will do to you what it did to Lucifer in heaven. And it's something he cannot come back from. It has to be faced by everybody who has free will. It has to be. Moving on. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. At a girl, she starts out responding just like Jesus did when he was tempted with the word of God. She repeats the word of God is what she does. Begins by saying what she can do. Then she goes on and says what she can't do. She knows. But from the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, and we know that that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, remember how this happened. God made man, then he made this tree, put the tree in the middle of the garden, then put man in the garden. So he made this tree that was, what was it? It was beautiful. She's going to tell us, you know, good. It was, the fruit was good. It was good for wisdom. It was beautiful to the eye. He picked up man, put him right in front of the tree, and said, don't eat it. And, well, the rest we know. But she knows this. And she adds a little to it. You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. I don't know if that was Adam's way of adding something to it. Like, if you touch it, you're going to eat it. So don't even touch it. You know, how many times, you know, you say to your kids, don't use the remote for a football. Don't even touch it. You know what I mean? So it's pretty much.
It's like, don't even walk by it.
Yes. Don't even look at it. Yeah. And she knows this, or you will die. I assume that Adam added it, or if God basically did. We don't really know that, but it's interesting to know that they have the whole concept. They get it. I mean, there's no excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse here. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. Line number two. All these lies that he is using on Eve never change. Everybody he has ever tempted into sin, he has used the exact same lies. No matter what the sin was, is unimportant. It's the exact same thing. There are no consequences. Go ahead. First off, God never said that. It's not sin. And the second one is, there are no consequences. It's how we talk ourselves into it and how we get talked into it by him. These lies do not change. They've been used. It's like a template that he uses with every human being that comes on the earth. There are no consequences for sin. Once again, it's a lie she wants to hear. You won't go to jail. Your wife won't leave you. You won't be humiliated. You won't lose your job. You know, all the things that you tell yourself that when you finally get caught and have to pay the price, you go, why in the world didn't I see that? Because you didn't want to. You accepted the lie you wanted to hear. Every person who has ever died from the exact same cause, sin. It is 100% fatal. We always say, what did they die from? They died from sin. Every person ever. Jesus Christ included, has died for my sin. Romans 6, 22 through 23. But now I've been freed from sin and enslaved to God. You derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The wages, it's that simple. We're going to die. And the two guys that didn't die, if you want to read it that way, they're coming back and dying in Revelations. They're the two prophets who, you know, the two guys that never died, they come back and then they die. They get martyred. So, Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered through one man, sin entered the world, the death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. There have been very few funerals where I actually felt comfortable enough to say it, but when Jimmy Quinn's son died, I used it, and I says, we know why Brian died. Brian died because of sin. But there were spiritual enough people there that I could do that. You know, and I said, not his particular sin, sin in general.
Right.
We don't have to ask God why. We ask why now,
right.
Why him here, you know, why this way. We ask all those questions. But we know why. And let's move on past that question. Right. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also comes the resurrection of the dead. See, even when this was said, God had the plan. And I tell you once again, Jesus Christ was not a reaction of God to our sin. He was the plan from the beginning. Before the sin, he was the plan. The sin was inevitable. He didn't cause it. He allowed it. I mean, you can't. Romans makes it clear. He doesn't. God tempts no man. I believe it. James says that, and in Romans he makes it clear that, you know, Paul's making the argument that my sin has taught me. In a way, I've benefited from my sin because I don't want to do it anymore. And so people were saying, "Well, you're saying that sin's good." He goes, "May it never be." He actually had to argue with people. That's not what I'm saying, because there's always some nincompoop that wants to argue some abstract, strange thing that's nowhere near what you're saying, just because they want to argue. And he makes it clear, he's, you know, by no means, may it never be. is basically what he says. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ we were all made alive. So from the very beginning, before we even die, these things, the wheels are turning. They are turning all the way to Revelations. It's set in motion. We're chugging along. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Knowing good from evil is not a lie, but saying he uses this one little part of God, knowing good from evil. And he says, that makes you like God. Nah. It's another part of the lie. You're God. You can do whatever you want. And even if we don't formally say it, every time you do not obey him, what you're saying, what you're proving, is that you don't believe you have to. Then you don't believe that he has the power to make you do that. Why? Because I'm God. I can do whatever I want. It's my will. And this whole life, by the time you leave here, should prove to you that you're not, and that it is a good thing you're not. And those two things are really important. You know, if you leave here without knowing those two things, you wasted a lifetime. And you went through a lot of pain and suffering for nothing. But the last part's just as important. I'm not God, and it's a good thing I'm not, because that means I don't want to be anymore. Just understanding that I'm not, just understanding that a guy can beat me up doesn't mean I don't want to beat him up, you know. But this is something, this means I know I'm not God, and boy, it's a really good thing I'm not. Because he's really good at it, and I'm really bad at it. Look what I've done with what power I've had. Yeah. These lies never change. They're the heart of every temptation. We know his game plan, yet he uses them anyway. They are that effective. We know exactly what he does. He doesn't alter them. He doesn't disguise them. He just comes out and uses them because it's us. They work because of us. Then, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, the three things that somewhere in there tempt all of us for everything we do, she took the fruit and ate it, and she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. It alludes the fact that he's standing there with her. I don't know how far you can take that. It says with her. I don't know if he shows up after or if he's standing there while this is going on. If he is standing there while this is going on, he is vile, because what he is doing is he's letting it occur, and he's always wanted to eat that fruit. But he's been told he's going to die. And think of how diabolical this is. The only other human being on the planet who is part of him. There is no one else here to talk to. There's no one else here to love or care for. And what he sits in silence and watches to see if she dies. Just sits and goes. It's like Final Jeopardy.
Yeah, drop over yet.
Exactly. Oh, come on. This is us.
But did they know what death was?
Apparently, they have an understanding of it, because they know it's punishment. And I don't know how far they go with this, grasp the idea of not being here anymore when not being here was never a possibility. I don't know if he grabbed a bunny and twisted his neck in front of him and said, "This is what it is." You know, I'm not sure. Right. I have no clue. I mean, I obviously am embellishing there. Come here, kids. Got a little lesson for you. A little lesson of life. Oh, by the way, if you ever watch Highly Questionable on ESPN, it alludes to this. They find a little baby bunny rabbit, this mom and this little child, and they see the mommy bunny over there, and they said, "Oh, there's the mom," and they let it out of the box, and they go, "Go ahead, little bunny," and the bunny starts hopping across the lawn to mommy, and a hawk comes up, grabs the little bunny, and flies off with it, and the announcer goes, "Now there's a lesson in life." That's when you tell your kid, "The hawk's taking him home," but you get that moment of clarity. And I have the absolute understanding that they know what this is and how diabolical we are. Because, now, let's take it a little further. So he sits there and watches to see if she dies. If she dies, he'll go, "Told her not to do that." She doesn't die, and he goes, "Huh." And she, in turn, takes her down with him. "Here, honey, have the apple." So just as diabolical, they both know it's wrong. One waits to see if the other one's going to die. The other one wants, if I'm going, you're going with me. And we wonder why we get divorced. We wonder why we fight. This is our heritage. This is the gene pool, the cesspool we climbed up out of. And it, you know, and the only thing it took to turn this from very good to this was, don't do this. Don't do this. One thing. They could have done anything they wanted on the planet. Do whatever you want. There's no limits. Just don't do this. That's why we're here. To do that. He was overcome by his own desires. She wanted what she wanted, was willing to take him down with her. Adam's the only other person on the planet. She's willing to lead him to death, and he's willing to watch her die. They love Grand. Okay. This is why it is not good that man is alone. It exposes exactly who we are. Think about it. God says it's not good you're alone. The very next thing that comes up, the next thing that happens, is the temptation and the fall. Okay, Lord, I was doing fine here. You and I were just skipping along. Everything was fine. You made her. This happened. I needed help. And this is the helper you gave me, and this is what happened? Yeah, it's what happened. Because it's who you are. She didn't make him do anything. She, you know, power, the power that comes with free will doesn't corrupt anything. It exposes the corruption that's in us. And marriage will do that. And it does it in a way that you can't avoid. You know, I matter of fact, I use that in the talk. I says, there is nothing that has taught me more about who I am. The only thing that's taught me more about who I am than racism is marriage. That where I care about somebody so much, and then I realize that I'm willing to hurt them to get what I want. That's exactly what happened here. I mean, even in the smallest ways, to get my will. Even if it means watching the station I want to watch. Well, if it's Dancing with the Stars, that's excusable. But, you know, she's just wrong. I'm sorry. But, you know. Well, that sort of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And this is all of us. You know, we can talk about it's their fault. Why do we have to suffer for them? Every one of us would have done this. Every single, maybe quicker. You know, every time you sin, you prove it. Because there's no difference. Joshua 7:20-21. So Achan answered Joshua and said, truly, I've sinned against the Lord and the God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold 50 shekels in weight, I coveted them and I took them. And behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it. There is the explanation of every sin. This guy just says, I saw them, I wanted them, I took them. It's what I did. I saw, I coveted, I took. David with Bathsheba. I saw, I coveted, I took. Then I murdered somebody. And then I try to cover it up. And it's no different, you know? Directly after God said it was not good for man to be alone, that he needed a helper, so he made Eve. And then our first recorded act was to take place, was to take the place of Satan and tempt Adam to the fall. There's no record of Satan talking to Adam. Maybe he thought it was something that would be far more suitable if I sent her, you know, if I used her.
That's what it says in my commentary, that she was deceived, not him.
Yeah. Oh, I, you know, you can surely disregard my sense of evil that is inside of Adam if you wish. But I truly see it that way, that he's waiting to see what happens to her. You know, go ahead, honey, because it says he was there with her. And he's watching the whole thing, and there's no part where he steps up and does what he was created to do. Don't do that, honey. Don't do that. You know, I won't let you do that. You know, I'll bear the burden here. And it gets even worse when they get caught, because they go like this. There's no hero here that says, this was my fault, Lord, punish me, don't punish them. When David intercedes for the half the nation, this is my sin, don't punish the sheep. And there ain't none of this here. It's like, you know. Yeah, she points to the snake, he points to her, and God straightens it all out. You know, I'm taking away all your excuses. He removes every excuse there is, and he does it by giving man authority over women. So that the old excuse, she made me do it, carries absolutely no weight ever. Not that it did here, but you can't even use it anymore. Because when it says authority, we always forget this, it means responsibility. You become the sergeant. And when I did something wrong as a patrolman, who did the chief go to? Not me, to the sergeant. Why'd you let that happen? He got yelled at. And then he yelled at me, but that's honestly.
Down the line.
Yep. And understand the depth of what's happening and how God straightens this out. You know, we always use that for other things, you know, like man's superior and we should rule over women. No, it's punishment, dude. Yeah. You're her. Honestly, we walk on with this pride. I'm her curse. That's who I am. You know, and it's punishment because I try to use her for excuse. And God said, I'm not buying it. You're not going to be able to do that ever again. I told you. And I'm going to come and I don't care what she does. I'm going to come and ask you about it. Yep. Try anything you want. Run it up the pole. Nobody's saluting. Yep. Yeah. Paradise is lost. All pain, all sorrow, every tear ever shed comes from this moment. We have stepped out of paradise into a boot camp for sinners. When paradise returns, it will never be lost again. There was no flaw in God's plan or design. It worked perfectly. This is not God causing us to sin. This is God allowing us to sin and survive spiritually. James 1:13-16. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one of us is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. His own lust. When lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. When sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That is the life of every human being. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Is Satan in there anywhere? Nope.
What verse is that?
James 1:13-16. The account of my life. Why Jesus? That explains why Jesus Christ is necessary, why Easter is necessary. 1 John 2:16-17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Everything that God made was good. There is no evil in the tree. The evil was in our hearts. Amen. And we'll cut off there. And let's pray. Lord, as you teach us about us and you, let it find a home in our hearts and in our brains and become a part of us, inseparable. And let these basic fundamental truths guide us through everything else that comes. When we know why we're here, everything else starts to make sense. And you are, if nothing else, a sensible God who we can rely on and have faith in. Let it find a home in our hearts, Lord. And when it does, help it to change us so that we could actually be a light on the hill and not part of the darkness. Watch over my brothers and sisters. Make them strong, wise, brave, and compassionate. Help them to glorify your name in what they think, do, and say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.